Hello and welcome to another episode of the Big Nickel IDP podcast. I am your host, John Macri, PFF's IDP specialist and data analyst. This episode, we continue to get you good folks who tune in ready for your 2022 IDP drafts with what's sure to be a big one, an episode so big that the World Eater Galactus would develop a little man complex, because we're going through every team's linebacker situation and setting you up with who to trust and who to flush, and maybe even sneak in some rookie expectations as well. Like I said, it's a big one, so let's get it. I am excited for this episode, so I won't waste any more time making Marvel references. Instead, I'll leave that to my guest, who everyone in the IDP multiverse should know. He actually showed up to this podcast wearing a football helmet with a green dot sticker on the back and his microphone built into the face mask. He's ready to go. He's the green dot king from 444.com, the mighty Mike Woolard. Mike, how's it going, man?
Macri, what's going on? And I can neither confirm nor deny that is actually what I am wearing tonight. So yeah, this should be a good one. You IDP degenerates, you love your linebackers. And so this is hopefully going to kind of an audio Bible, I guess, of linebackers. I know I've got my three down piece that I'll be referencing. John, I know you have all of your preseason thoughts going on so far. So yeah, this is going to be a good one. Get your coffee ready and let's strap in.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll hit on every single team. People love linebackers. We all love linebackers. They're the sexy position of IDP, let's be honest. And there's a lot to talk about. There's some interesting situations. There's some ones that are obviously very clear cut and ones that we don't have to spend too much time going over. But I do want to mention before we even get into any of that, that we need to congratulate our Lord and Savior, Derwin James, on his big contract extension of 4 years, $76.4 million with $42 million guaranteed. You love to see the best safety in the league get paid like the best safety in the league. So that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I signed up for ancestry.com. Unfortunately, couldn't find any lineage to Derwin James, so I won't be hitting him up for any type of a loan or anything. So that was kind of a bummer.
That's fair. That's fair. I've been calling myself Derwin's agent today because yesterday was part of the podcast. My screen name was hashtag pay Derwin. So I feel like I had something to do with it. So maybe I'll get a cut. We'll see what happens. But
0.0001%. I mean, come on.
I'll take it. All right. Well, yeah, we got the preseason going on. We got, there's a lot going on in the NFL, obviously, now as things start to ramp up. We got Hard Knocks kicking off. You've been watching the Lions Hard Knocks?
I have been. Really good few episodes so far. If I tell you what, it's HBO and the NFL just do such a fantastic job with this series, and they make any team really look compelling.
Yeah. They really do. Like, they, I love the way that they put it all together and to edit it and put it out that quickly too. Like, they do a hell of a job. It's got to be a ton of work.
Zero sleep. The production team has to not sleep at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it's impressive what they turn around in such a short period of time. But yeah, the Lions are a super interesting team. Obviously, we got Aiden Hutchinson singing Billie Jean. That was a big highlight. The one I liked was the Aaron Glenn versus Deuce Staley. Oh. That was the highlight for me. Those two going back and forth, pure entertainment. Yeah,
and that's real friendship. How real. If you're not talking to your friends that way, then those aren't your friends.
Exactly. Yeah, we've all done it. We're all pretty used to it, especially if we're competitive with one another. We like to throw a little trash talk and barbs at each other. So that was definitely fun to see. But yeah, I'm excited to see how the rest of that Hard Knock season shakes out, because there's some interesting names on the Lions. But we could get to them when we get to the Lions in the list here. Yeah, man, I'm ready. Are you watching She-Hulk at all? I think it dropped today.
I think it drops
Are you
tomorrow.
gonna watch? Oh, is it tomorrow? Okay.
I think it's tomorrow. I'll consider it. It looks okay. I'm
Yeah.
actually looking forward to Andor, so that's going to be a good one.
When does Andor drop?
I think it's a couple of weeks, I want to say.
Oh, wow.
I think it's coming up. So I think that one is like right before Rogue One,
Okay,
if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken in the timeline. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But yeah, Hulk, that looks all right.
I know it's not like one of the most exciting characters, but
I can't wait for this phase to like pick up its footing because I think it's still finding its footing, and there hasn't been that lead into a real big villain yet. Like you haven't gotten that like oh shit moment yet to where like you haven't gotten that movie yet. Like you got neither Civil War or Winter Soldier where just like things really picked up. So I'm hoping for some continuity here in this phase.
That'll be nice. Yeah, it's going to come at some point, right? They've got so much content to put out that yeah, they're just slow rolling us a little bit for sure. And they're obviously building to a Kang confrontation at some point. We've only seen him once though, and I'm holding out hope for Doctor Doom at some point too. That's my that'll be my
Oh, I think
jump
he's
out of
got
the
to
chair.
appear. Yeah, I think he's got to appear. And then you got what the Secret Wars and all those Iron Wars and all those new Avengers potentially. So I think hopefully something's coming.
It's still exciting stuff. It'll be hard to hit the peaks of Endgame and
Oh yeah,
Infinity War, but
they set the bar so high that it's like impossible to hit after that first decade and almost what 20 some odd movie run. That's going to be impossible expectations to meet.
It's gonna be tough. I'm super interested to see how they pull it all off, because they're gonna do it again. They're gonna try, at least. They're gonna build up to something. But anyways, we could talk about the MCU and all that stuff all day, but that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. We're here to cover teams and their linebackers. We have all 32 teams to go over, like I said, so this is likely going to be a supersized episode. But just like the Avengers and Endgame, we're gonna do whatever it takes to get it done. We got Red Bulls, Monster Energy, nose beers, coffee, you name it, all lined up to help get us through it, whatever it takes. So let's kick things off at the top of the alphabet with the Arizona Cardinals and their confusing ass linebacker core. Mike, who are our three down guys in the desert?
So I don't know what Arizona's done. They've taken in the top 10 two off-ball linebackers, and they kind of refuse to play him in any way, shape, or form. Simmons was a top 10 pick, and they're like, yeah, no, we're just not gonna play him in his rookie year. Fast forward to what 2020 or 2021 and or 2020. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to draft Zaven Collins, and but this time we're going to tell people that he's going to call the plays, and you know what? We're not going to play him. So now, Simmons played. He played a he played virtually every snap. Only problem is he played a lot of different positions. He played on the edge, and he didn't have a very high, that kind of limited his tackle efficiency. And now coming into this year, we see him playing with the DB group and kind of getting that star role that Jalen Ramsey has. And Jalen Ramsey, if you've seen, he plays all over and doesn't, again, great player, but again, not high tackle efficiency. That's going to really limit his floor. And I know it's an unofficial depth chart, but someone named Ezekiel was a first string linebacker, inside linebacker. Ben Neiman was the second, and Isaiah Simmons was named third inside linebacker, where
Oh
Zaven
my
Collins was
gosh.
named the starter. Now, I'm not going to look too much into it because I think they had Jalen Thompson as the third string safety.
Okay.
So, but I'm not putting anything past what the Cardinals are doing. I think Zaven Collins is probably going to shape up to be at least a full-time guy playing 80 to 85% of the snaps. They really don't have anybody really that's on the roster that's deep. Hicks is in Minnesota. So I think Simmons is going to be a three down guy too, but you know what they say, if you have three positions, you really have none. And when you're playing all over, that kind of limits your floor and it really limits your efficiency. So I think those two are probably going to be full-time guys. And then you got Nick Vigil, who's just going to throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing, who could actually lead the entire team in snaps and lead the entire team in tackles. So who really knows? Yeah. And then I think Jalen Thompson is probably going to call the plays. I think he's going to end up probably the play caller. Okay. But you've got Vigil, Collins, and Simmons. Probably rolling the dice on Collins. And I'm probably not interested really anywhere else. Maybe if I need a deep linebacker, is maybe a waiver wire pickup if Vigil does end up getting that second inside linebacker spot. But they're not showing their hand, so I do grant them that. But that's kind of where I'm at with their linebackers.
Yeah. Yeah. The Cardinals have started to become like the trolls of the NFL a little bit in how they've been treating us IDPers because of, like you said, the Isaiah Simmons as a rookie, Zaven Collins as a rookie, and now whatever is going on in camp right now with Simmons. So it's mm-hmm. it's definitely I mentioned this, I think, last podcast, but it scared me enough off of Isaiah Simmons that I'm just mm-hmm. not taking him at where he's going. Zaven Collins, I've pushed a little bit down the mm-hmm. board just Same. Because and Nick Vigil is a guy that I'm taking super late just because they've been talking him up. They seem mm-hmm. to be fairly excited about him for whatever mm-hmm. reason. Like, we've seen Nick Vigil. He's never been, you know, a super efficient tackler as an IDP, but if he's out there, he's still going to put up points. It might not be LB1 or even LB2 mm-hmm. points, but you're not paying that for him. You'll be able to get him at the end of drafts. So it's such a weird situation. This was a very much a two linebacker team last year, mm-hmm. Even though they weren't at least Simmons wasn't overly efficient, but there's room there for IDP relevancy, but who knows what's going to happen with it at this point. They're not all that interesting for me. So And any rookies really on this team that you're interested in?
From rookies, not really. Yeah. It's basically those three guys at linebacker, and then I'm just kind of moving on. Vigil has always been kind of that replacement guy. You see him in a waiver wire article a couple of times a year because he came in for either Anthony Barr or he came in for Eric Kendricks, and you know, he just had a three down roll. So he's a replacement player level type at best.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right, let's go on to another weird situation, the Atlanta Falcons. Heading into this season, Deion Jones, even though he wasn't coming off his best year, was seemingly locked into a starting role, but then talk started to happen about him potentially being on the trading block or being cut, and then what happened was he had a late off-season surgery, which he's still not recovered from, so there's questions about whether he's going to mm-hmm. be available for week one. Right now, what they're showing us is that Rashawn Evans seems to be, he would be the secondary linebacker with Deion Jones in there, but with Deion Jones out, he looks to be locked in as an every down player, because that's kind of what they deployed last year as well. They were another two linebacker team. Yep. And then beside him, it seems like it'll be Mykel Walker if mm-hmm. Deion Jones isn't healthy. I mean, what they showed us in the first preseason was Rashawn Evans and Mykel Walker, mm-hmm. Nick Kwiatkowski, Troy Anderson. Those guys didn't play, so we don't really know how they fit into it, but I wouldn't expect them to be in the starting conversation, at least to kick off the year. So, mm-hmm. They're either one of those guys, if they're starting, they can be very relevant. It's a linebacker friendly team, a zone heavy team, a cover two heavy team, all those things that kind of help tackle efficiency. So mm-hmm. even though they're not the most attractive names, they're in a good spot to produce. So definitely a couple names that you could be targeting late in drafts for sure.
Yeah, Deion Jones, I don't know where he's at with his shoulder. They haven't found a trade partner, so I don't think he's going to be moved. I don't think anybody's going to pick up his contract, and I don't see him being cut. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a capologist. I don't claim to know much about the cap, so I don't know how much of a hit that would take. But, I mean, in terms of his production, he had 137 tackles last year. So, I mean, everybody's like, oh, Deion – I mean, for IDP, he had 137 tackles. I mean, some of his play tailed off, but I have a feeling that if he comes back, he's probably going to play out. Imagine, almost have to at his contract. You almost have to. But yeah, Rashawn Evans, I know he knows Dean Pease's defense. But yeah, it was McCall Walker that called the play. So if it's going to be those two, I have certainly more interest in Michael Walker than I would with Rashawn Evans, just because Evans, not very efficient, has never been really kind of a three down guy per se. Mm-hmm. He's always been kind of that 65-70 guy, even in Tennessee. So I probably have some interest. I definitely have some interest in Michael Walker if he's going to be, if Jones is going to miss any type of, if he's going to miss any significant time. I don't know what you consider significant time, but if he's going to miss a few weeks, I definitely have some interest in Walker. I mean, Deion Jones lost the playing calling duties to Fasade Aluokun last season. So Walker still could call the plays and still have some IDP value if that's going to be the case.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you. I think if Deion Jones, if and when he gets back, he's most likely going to be an every down player again, just because he's a better option than Michael Walker or Rashawn Evans. But we'll deal with that when we get there. It doesn't seem likely that he's going to start week one. I would think that there'd be at least some talk that he's, ready to go or gearing up for it, but nothing so far. So like you said, Michael Walker is the one calling the plays, so that's interesting. As far as rookies on this team goes, Arnold Ebiketie is interesting. He's not actually starting right now. He's playing behind Ogundeji, but I gotta imagine at some point Ebiketie works in as a starter there. He's definitely a much better pass rusher than what Ogundeji is, but nobody really of interest there. It's not the best.
Yeah. In terms of redraft, probably not Troy Anderson. He'll probably be one of those dynasty, just kind of those dynasty targets.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. All right. Let's go on to the Baltimore Ravens. Who do you got leading this group?
Queens kind of has had a bit of a rough go at linebacker. I think he's missed 43 tackles in his first two seasons. Has struggled in coverage, struggled against the run, but other than that, he's fine. they brought in Josh Bynes to kind of bring in that veteran presence. He's kind of been doing, hopefully helped talking him up. Played 76% of the snaps, which was a little bit of a downtick. Baltimore is a two linebacker defense, if I'm not mistaken. I think they were about a 78% of the time they're running two linebackers, scaled back one and zero linebacker packages. Zachary Orr, though, they brought in as a linebacker coach. So, he had a huge, IDP season for Baltimore. It was sometime between 14 and 16. He exploded, knows the system. I think hopefully he'll be able to do something with Queen, kind of helping that development. I don't think this year he's a weekly, you can count on him as a weekly LB1. I actually wrote him up as kind of an overrated linebacker because I was looking at some IDP data, and in some cities he was drafted as an LB20. There's absolutely, I'm not taking him that high. I've got him, I think, as my LB45 this year. I think he's kind of one of those guys maybe you take as a fourth or fifth linebacker, hope things kind of turn around for him, and just kind of hope for the best. And as a Browns fan, I'm glad they missed on him. But as real football, I don't know. It just doesn't look like he has that aggressive nature of a linebacker. And I think in terms of the play caller, I still think they're going to bestow the duties to Chuck Clark on that. I mean, that, keeping things consistent. I know Wink Martindale is no longer there, but that'll be interesting to see, though, if they do change it up. I don't think Chuck Clark played this past week because Malik Harrison did wear the dot this week So, he played 28 snaps last week. So it'll be interesting to see where they do give that duty. But if Queen's going to play 75-80% of the snaps, I don't see him calling the plays at all.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think you're right to have him ranked in that range, in the 40s there, because that's the thing. I'm not trusting Patrick Queen for where he's being drafted right now. Mm-hmm. He just comes off the field too often. I don't think even Baltimore really trusts him. I mean, last season he played every game, but he didn't even lead his team in linebacker, like third down snaps.
Mm-hmm.
That was somehow Chris Board did that for them. So, I mean, if you're putting Chris Board down on crucial third downs over Patrick Queen, I think that tells you a lot about what they kind of think about him. Yeah, like you said, Josh Bynes is still there, probably going to eat into his workload. They drafted Kyle Hamilton. I think we could see some more three safety looks from them.
Yep.
You know, it might be Clark and Williams to start, and Hamilton kind of works in. But I think Hamilton could do a lot more for them of what they wanted Queen to do than what Queen's actually doing for them. So
yeah,
there's a good chance that we start to see Queen phased out and obviously not get that fifth year option.
And it feels like he's been in the league forever. Like I thought this was his fifth year, but it's only his third year. I'm like, oh, he's playing for his fifth year extension, but it's only his third year.
I know. It's he's been tough to watch. He struggles a lot. So he's making us all feel old just by watching him. But yeah, there's nobody I'm really targeting from this linebacker group at this point. If you can get Patrick Queen in that range, like we said, in the 40s, I think that's a fine spot to take him just because there's not really anybody else that's that great on that team. And he'll probably still lead them in snaps. But other than that, there's a lot better options at linebacker this year.
Yep.
So we talked about a little bit about Kyle Hamilton. Any other rookies there?
Unfortunately, I think he ended up being an undrafted free agent, but Zakobi McClain. Liked him coming out, but I don't know. I think he's a long shot to probably make the team, probably.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I like Travis Jones as well, the defensive tackle they took in the third out of UConn. I think he could be really interesting long term. For this year, I don't know. It takes these defensive linemen a while. So, not somebody to target this year, but somebody that to keep an eye on for the future for sure.
Yep.
A very boring team here. We don't have to spend a lot of time on them. The Buffalo Bills. I mean, we know what they are. They're very much a two linebacker, nickel defense, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano. Those are the guys. I mean, what else is there to say? Who's wearing the green dot for that team?
Probably Edmonds.
Edmonds.
Okay. Yeah, probably. And Milano was an inefficient full-time linebacker. So
he let us down last year, but he's let us down a couple years in a row now. So hopefully I got him as a bounce back guy this year. We'll see what happens there. But if any of those two get injured, it looks like Terrell Bernard, the rookie, the third round pick out of Baylor, is the next man up. So
I definitely have some interest in him for dynasty purposes. I think he's probably going to end up being groomed. I think he could be the one being groomed to kind of take over.
Nice.
I know he got the stop. I know he actually ended up starting for Buffalo this week, wore the dot. So pretty telling that they entrust a rookie to call the plays. Milano is fine in a deeper league, you know, with the way linebackers are going, finding those like every down guys are becoming, it's kind of becoming not rare, but you know, like a running back, like a three down running back, it's becoming a little bit scarce.
For sure. Yep. No, he's definitely worth drafting Milano just because it's an every down role, but he's just got to stay healthy. That's the main thing. So, we'll go on to the next team here, the Carolina Panthers.
It's pretty much Shaq Thompson for me. I know they brought in Corey Littleton, who's kind of living off that huge tackle year, but as I know, we've seen our good friend Tommy Gisling-Berry say, tackles don't necessarily make you a good player, and I fully buy into that.
Yeah,
he had a rough go in Las Vegas. Carolina also brought in Damien Wilson, but they're gonna give Frankie Louvu a chance. That's the guy that I have a little bit of interest in as a potential deep target, deep dart throw. So preseason game, he made one tackle, got the TFL, and I think Carolina just said, you know what,
that's it.
I think you're good, you're done after, and he was pulled after one snap. So I think Damian Wilson called the plays, but again, Shaq Thompson didn't play, so he's really the only one that I'm gonna target. Very solid floor. You know what you're getting in Shaq Thompson. He's a solid LB3 target. You know what you're gonna get out of him. And Frankie Louvu, I'm probably targeting again. If you're in a deep league where you have like 30, 35 rounds and you got a deep bench, that's probably that's the one I'm probably, using that lottery ticket on.
Yeah, I like Luvu. We kind of talked about him on another podcast, but I was actually really interested to see what he would do and how they would use him this preseason. He played one snap,
One
and that was
snap.
it. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to find out this week. But yeah, so he is actually an interesting player. Kind of rushes the passer a little bit, can drop into coverage. He can kind of do a little bit of everything. So I think that makes him a little bit interesting. The Panthers were, an above average team in dime personnel. We know Jeremy Chinn will come up and play in the box quite a bit as their second linebacker. So not that the second linebacker behind Shaq Thompson is all that interesting for IDP, but you never know, somebody could emerge there that you could get super cheap and end up being, if something happens to Shaq Thompson too, step into that LB1 role. So all right. Let's go to Chicago. We don't know what is going on with Roquan Smith. He was holding in for a new contract. Now he wants a trade. Maybe they get him a new contract before the season starts. We'll see. I think, there's at least a chance that can happen, even though he says it doesn't seem like it. I mean, I think money solves a lot of problems, right? So
Oh yeah. Yeah, you increase my payday by a certain extent, and yeah, I will sign where you want me to sign.
Yeah, exactly. So for now, he's not playing, so we gotta kind of treat it as if, he might hold out into the season. So that makes him fall down boards, I think, a little bit, just because there are other every down linebackers in good systems that can produce similarly. I mean, Nicholas Morrow is the top choice right now. He was, likely in for a heavy role even with Roquan. So Morrow steps in, and then you got Matthew Adams, it looks like, is the second guy who started in the preseason, was filling in for Roquan while he was holding in as well. Joe Thomas played, he started, but he kind of subbed out in sub packages. So Matthew Adams looks like the guy that we would want to take a shot on late. And if Roquan ends up holding out into the season, Matthew Adams is in a nice spot to produce. He has some familiarity there with Eberflus, being formerly with the Colts. So yeah, it's they're, again, not attractive names with Nicholas Morrow and Matthew Adams, but it's a good defense for linebacker productivity. And if these guys are just average as far as tackle efficiency, we're looking at a really nice steals late in drafts for sure.
Yeah, Nicholas Morrow, I think he was even named, even before all this stuff with Roquan, I think he was even named a play caller even before everything was going on. So
Interesting.
I think he was going to call the plays regardless. In terms of Smith, though, I haven't moved him out of my LB1 spot just because
Okay.
I don't know. Like, there's no concrete evidence that he may miss time. Like, with someone, like, I'm sure, we'll mention Darius Leonard, but there isn't any threat of missing time yet. So,
Right.
but at the same time, it's like, I don't know if I can recommend him taking him as your it's that conundrum. I've got him as my LB1, but I don't know if I can recommend taking him as the LB1.
Right.
Because what he can do.
It's tough, right? There's other options there. There's, Foye Aluakun or Devin White or Jordan Brooks, whoever, right? The guys that are in good systems as well that
Wagner,
we can
even Bobby
grab.
Wagner.
Bobby Wagner for sure. He's so maybe you grab one of those guys and then hope Roquan falls and you could grab him as your second linebacker, right? But like you said, there's time. There, as close as we are to the season, there's definitely time for them to figure it out and either get a deal done and get him back on the field, or at least give us some more information of whether or not he's going to be playing. But
And the one name I did see was Jack Sanborn.
okay, yeah.
So he had a good game. I think he had a pick, and I think he ended up with like five tackles, five solos.
Yeah.
So I think they said they want to try to see him with some of the starters. So if he does play with the starters on Thursday, that'll be an interesting watch. Wisconsin linebacker, kind of a,
Right.
Kind of a hitter, and you kind of see what happens.
Yeah, he was. I had him in a Devy League. He was a nice little college IDP for me, but I think he went undrafted too, right? So,
I think so.
Yeah, but he was getting talked up a little bit in camp even before the Roquan stuff. So I was kind of following him a little bit. But yeah, it would be interesting to see if he can move up that depth chart and even make the team. That would be cool.
Yep. Yep.
All right. As far as rookies, I mean Jaquan Brisker. I think we both like Brisker.
Yep.
Other than that, I mean Kyler Gordon. We'll see if he can start. I don't know if we can expect Kenny Moore production in a similar role, but we can definitely dream. Other than that, let's go on to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, pretty simple. Logan Wilson. I guess if you're also in a deeper league, maybe Jermaine Pratt. But I don't really have a whole lot of interest in him because I think he is mostly a 65-70% snap guy.
Yeah.
Marcus Bailey and Akeem Davis-Gaither got, I think, the first team snaps this past week. According to looking at the PFF grades, they both graded poorly. So I don't think there's really any threat to playing time at this point. To either Jermaine Pratt or Logan Wilson. So for me, it's pretty simple, Logan Wilson. And then that's pretty much who I'm targeting and moving on from the linebackers.
Yep. Nope. That makes sense for sure. I mean, again, it's another team that was above average in dime personnel too. So it is a lighter role for whoever the secondary linebacker is, which it should be Jermaine Pratt at this point. So yeah, Logan Wilson, definitely one of the earlier targets, Jermaine Pratt late in deeper leagues. And then the only rookie for this one that I'd be interested in is Dax Hill. Is becoming a little bit interesting if Jesse Bates is out, but I do think that it would be a deep role. So he's not somebody that I'm spending an overly high pick on and expecting, you know, safety one production or anything like that. Just hoping for volume-based production.
Yep.
All right, let's go to your Cleveland Browns. It is JOK season finally. It looks like he is going to be the guy to play every down.
I think he has to be.
Yeah, it's hard to think that, you know, anybody else at this point, especially with how well he played last year, as long as he's healthy. He was a top 10 graded linebacker for us last year, something like that. So that's as a rookie. So you'd like to see that right away. After that, I mean, Jacob Phillips versus Anthony Walker is kind of interesting. Walker hasn't played yet. There hasn't been a ton of noise from him out of camp because he was hurt. Jacob Phillips, I think you had mentioned or had shown on Twitter that he's wearing the green dot too, right? So
yeah, he's wearing the dot. I've heard from a few beat writers, analysts that they're definitely doing, you know, he's going to get the shot.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it's like, if it's a heavy role or not, I don't know. I mean, I think Anthony Walker still works in and gets some playing time. I don't know how big of a role the guy next to JOK is going to be. But again, you know, these are late shots to take in drafts. Nobody's spending up on a Jacob Phillips or an Anthony Walker, really. So, if you have a gut feeling about a guy and they might end up in a productive role, then why not take a shot on them late? There's a few question marks still with the Browns, especially even at safety. But
I know Woods likes to use some three linebacker packages. He does a lot of rotating. He's talked up everybody, so he's definitely talked up Phillips. I know he definitely likes how he's played. Unfortunately, again, I noticed some bit, you know, a little bit of warts in his play from the game. You guys obviously noticed it too, because I think he graded as the worst defender on the Browns in that game, if I'm not mistaken. So he's playing in. He's been hurt, so I'm kind of hoping for a little bit better of a showing. But I know they are giving him every chance to play. So I think JOK probably does end up leading the whole defense in snaps. If I was going to use my crystal ball and who's going to be second, I would probably say Phillips.
Okay. Nice. So it's a little bit, everybody's kind of got their bets on this one. I know people like Anthony Walker over JOK or Anthony Walker over Jacob Phillips. And then there's the Jacob Phillips crowd. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see like week one, kind of how it plays out and whatever. But you know, if he didn't play that great, it's the first preseason game too.
Yeah. Right?
It takes some time for these guys to get up to speed. So, and there's no real rookies on this one that's of interest for redraft. So we can move on to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously you have Micah Parsons, right? Complete, at least in my opinion, being completely overdrafted. You know, he huge pressure rate, obviously elite pressure rate, led the team in pressures. My problem is the tackle efficiency is if he's going to continue to rotate back and forth, that's going to limit his tackle efficiency. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, he was around 9 or 10% when he was not playing an off ball linebacker. Yeah. So when you're playing on the edge, that kind of lowers your tackle floor. So for me, I'm not touching him at his current ADP because what I've seen, he's either the first or second linebacker off the board. And that is you're banking on another 15, 16 sacks. And that's just not something that I'm going to pay for. So in the terms of who's also going to play, I think, let's see, Jeff Kavanaugh. I think he's one of the writers. I think he said, Leighton Vander Esch has been calling the plays. Hard to see anything that happened in week one, 'cause I think basically Dallas played nobody of relevance against Denver. So really speculation. It could be Leighton Vander Esch. I think I have seen Jerron Curse with it, so there could be a rotation there. But in terms of the linebackers, I don't think I'm really targeting any of the Dallas linebackers, honestly. Yeah. I mean, if I need to fill out a roster spot, maybe Leighton Vander Esch. But that's really it. Jabril Cox is interesting, but he's going to go undrafted, so you could probably pick him up as a waiver wire addition potentially during the season. So really, I'm not drafting any of the linebackers, and like I said, I'm passing at Parsons at cost.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, if you're a big believer in Micah Parsons repeating, you're drafting him as the first or second linebacker off the board. Other than that, you're not getting him in drafts. But I'm with you. I think he is overvalued. And you know, this will make it old takes exposed or something like that. But
I'm ready for it. I'll eat it. But
I don't think that, you know, that sack rate last year is repeatable in a part-time pass rusher role, putting up double digit, well into double digit sacks. It was 14 or 15 sacks last year. So that's a big part of it. We know sacks aren't a sticky stat year to year, but also the tackle issue is it is a problem. That tackle efficiency, not just because he's a pass rusher, but they play in a man-heavy defense as well. This is the most man-heavy team in the NFL, so we know that also kills linebacker tackle efficiency by quite a bit. So just the fact that he's not in that role on an every down basis is going to hurt his tackle efficiency. The low weeks are going to be low, and you'll have the big blow up weeks as well. But for where you're drafting him, you want consistently strong production every single week, like you would normally get from like a Roquan Smith or Darius Leonard. Right. So, it's just, in my opinion, not worth the cost. I know people are a big believer in him, and that's perfectly fine. I get it. I understand why. But it's the price tag is too rich for me.
I mean, I guess if you're playing in an IDP best ball league, I mean, that's probably he's probably a good target there.
For sure.
I mean, I took him in our all 22 draft because it's a completely different type of format. he's actually really good and probably in that format, but yeah, I mean, that's in best ball format. Yeah. But if you're just playing those weekly seasonal, I can't believe he's already already at LB1.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think like you said, all 22, he's a perfect LB1 candidate, right? Yeah. Super young and it obviously very, very good at what he does. So especially for a position that doesn't grade very well. So that's a pretty good pick for all 22, but for IDP, we want something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he gives that, but we will see. All right, let's go to the Denver Broncos, another kind of interesting team. Jose Jewell had been talked up as their LB1 and still seems to be that way, even though we haven't seen him on the field. But that's fine. The guy missed pretty much all of last year with an injury. We'll see, you know, what happens with the second linebacker spot. I know they just signed Joe Schobert because Jonas Griffith got hurt, and we were excited about Jonas Griffith as like a sleeper. But you know, Schobert, Singleton, Griffith, I don't think
Sternad.
Justin Sternad.
He's still there.
these are names that, I mean, again, the end of your drafts, if you want to take a shot, it's worth it because they'll be on the field. But I don't know how much they're going to be on the field. This is one of the things that I think I had been kind of touching on a little bit this offseason, and that's with, you know, a new defensive coordinator coming in from the Rams, which was a dime-heavy team, new head coach from the Packers, a very dime-heavy team,
single linebacker.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be some of that that carries over, and we kind of saw that a little bit in the first week of the preseason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was because Jonas Griffith got hurt or if this was their plan all along, but they played 40% of their snaps in dime in the first half. In the second half, they obviously cut that down, but when they had their guys, their starting unit out there, that's kind of what they were running. I obviously don't think it's going to be 40%. That's a very, very high rate, it's still enough to make you think that the LB2 there isn't likely to be super relevant for IDP outside of deep leagues. But and then you got Baron Browning playing like a Hall of Fame edge rusher in the preseason, his first snaps as a full-time edge rusher. So that was cool to see. But yeah, I think it's Jose Jewell right now. Mm-hmm. I Joe Schober, I don't really care enough about him. I know he's got the name, but
I think we're right there. If I'm not mistaken, you guys graded Jose Jewell actually pretty high last year before he got hurt. He's probably going to call the plays, I have a feeling. With Joe Schobert, I mean, he could have some value. I mean, because if with Jonas Griffith out, 4 to 6 weeks, I think that puts Griffith right back around week two or week three. Okay. So, I mean, I don't think Joe Schobert's going to have I don't see him getting a three down roll. I'm not going to project a three down roll. I don't see it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's a guy you can kind of come in and, you know, he does have some of that veteran presence. Maybe 60%, you know, kind of rotate in and out. But really though, anything you can do to keep Alex Singleton off the field, I think that is what they need to do. Honestly. So, but yeah, it's pretty much Jose Jewell. And I mean, if I miss out on Joe Schobert, I'm not going to cry about it.
No, definitely not. I'm 100% with you. All right, let's go to the Hard Knock superstar Detroit Lions.
Oh boy. So for whatever reason, Alex Anzalone is still on the team. He needs to improve how he hits his pad level, his drops into drops, tackling hands. Other than that, yeah, he's aces. He's good.
Yeah.
just my quick observations is Calvin Shepard, the linebacker coach, absolutely loves Malcolm Rodriguez, loves him, and is already calling out things that no one has seen a linebacker there do for for a bunch of years. So at this point, I think it's Malcolm Rodriguez's job to lose at this point. I mean, if he comes in and Alex Anzalone still is playing, I'm going to lose my shit because he just flat out sucks. I'm sorry. He just sucks. He is not a good football player. Yeah. And I had a feeling this was going to happen, that I was going to fall in love with Malcolm Rodriguez. I mean, I wrote him up as a rookie linebacker to target, you know, kind of that early season, mid season, potentially waiver wire. But the coach, the linebacker coaches, they love him. So he's, you know, he actually had a pretty good game, had some pretty decent plays. Derek Barnes was okay. Had a really nice tackle, had a nice TFL. But I'm sorry, if the Lions want to compete, Alex Anzalone should not be anywhere near a football field. And with him, he's either going to get cut or he's going to call the plays. And I don't think there is anywhere in between.
No,
but for me, if I'm targeting two linebackers from Detroit, it's going to be either Derek Barnes or it's going to be Malcolm Rodriguez. I still can't believe Jerod Davis is on that team. He totally whiffed. I don't know what he was doing. Someone had a controller and I think they hit X and he dove. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
They hit X and dove at nothing. So for me, I mean, you're trying to rebuild and you're trying to be taken seriously. I do think Aiden Hutchinson is probably going to be a culture changer. I mean, you can already kind of tell that he's coming in and he's not taking any shit. Mm-hmm. And even watching Malcolm Rodriguez play, I mean, he's getting called out. It's like, this sixth round rookie is taking your job right now, all of you. So, wow. Coaches don't do that. You know, they're not gonna do that unless they really see something in these mm-hmm. guys. So, yeah, for Detroit, I'm just gonna look at Derek Barnes or Malcolm Rodriguez, and that's it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second episode of Hard Knocks yet, but I'm excited to see that because, yeah, as we all know, Alex Anzalone, I mean, football is not his forte, although I just wouldn't be surprised if he starts the season, right? And for whatever reason, I don't know what kind of blackmail he has on Dan Campbell, but he played the entire year last year. But I like the call. I like Malcolm Rodriguez. I mean, you look at that linebacker core and Derek Barnes and Jared Davis, they're not the answer.
No.
I mean, Jesus, the hype is pretty crazy for Rodriguez right now. And I think,
yes, it is. Oh, it absolutely is. It's totally irrational.
Yeah. He's the Isaiah Pacheco of IDP at this point. Right. But he could very well end up as a relevant IDP this season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's to start the year, but like you said, I mean, it's going to be, if he's playing the way he is in camp, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field, especially when you see the other options. Yeah. Alex Anzalone, I think, you know, you can take a late round flyer on him if you want, but you have to keep in mind that this is one of the most inefficient linebackers in the league. He just consistently below 10% tackle efficiency. And that's, you know, when the average for linebackers is 12%, the guy's just not good. He finds a way to not make a play. And yeah, if it's Malcolm Rodriguez that emerges, then obviously we'll be very happy Friday mm-hmm. because I know a lot of people are hoping for somebody to emerge there. It was Derek Barnes that was last year's darling, but that didn't work out. And hopefully we'll see something from the sixth rounder out of Oklahoma State.
God, Gerard Davis was a first round pick. Good God. He was a
first round pick. Yeah. It's pretty remarkable. Yeah, that play, I know exactly the one you're talking about, where it looks like he's doing like the chip block on the fullback who's blocking. It's like, what are you doing? You are on defense. Oh, God. All right, let's go to the Green Bay Packers here. So Devondre Campbell, still the man for this season, mm-hmm. Most likely. I know they drafted Quay Walker, aka Quaker. he is the easy linebacker two choice there. So the interesting thing for him will be how much dime the Packers actually run this season. I know
they're huge.
Yeah, they were top five last year, top five the year before, I think first the year before that. So, you know, Tom had mentioned this, they had scaled down the linebacker usage over the years, which is mm-hmm. a little bit different than the norm of the NFL, but it could very well happen again this year. We may see another downgrade to, you know, a 20% range, but I mm-hmm. doubt it's an every down role for Quay Walker, which makes him a late round pick mm-hmm. for IDP purposes. And that's fine. You know, there's, if he's overly efficient or above average as an efficient tackler, mm-hmm. then he can make up some of that value a little bit. But yep. So there's a good chunk of snaps there. I think the whole thing with me was that I just, you know, I don't think he should have been the top rookie drafted for IDP purposes, right? I know he was the first rookie linebacker drafted in the NFL draft, but I think, you know, somebody like a Devin Lloyd is in a better situation to produce, assuming Lloyd gets back from his hamstring injury, but that's a different team. But yeah, bottom line, we won't know until he actually plays. I mean, the preseason snaps don't really mean anything. The Packers aren't going to show what their personnel is going to be. They didn't show it last year in the preseason. They're not going to show it this year. We won't find out until week one exactly what they want to do with their linebackers. But right now, Devondre Campbell is a really nice top option for IDP, in my opinion.
Yeah, and with Walker, I, you know, they've seen, you know, you've seen it, that he compares very similarly to Campbell. So I think at the linebacker spot, they haven't had that guy that can do a little bit of everything, you know, because Chris Barnes, I think he's already head and shoulders above Chris Barnes.
Yeah.
You know, you can drop Campbell into coverage and you can send Quay Walker on a pass rush and even vice versa. Mm-hmm. So again, with Devondre Campbell not playing week one, Quay Walker got the start. I think he played 12 snaps, but again, called the plays, wore the dot. So again, it's kind of notable that as a rookie, he's being entrusted to call the play. So I think he's, from what I can read, he's picking things up and he's already kind of standing out a little bit. So if he can get 80% of the snaps, I think that is some, that will definitely be of use.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely could still be relevant, but just beware of where you're drafting him.
Yes.
You shouldn't expect, an every down role. But
yeah, I mean, and I've seen him. He's probably in mix. I think I've seen him, you know, he's probably going as like an LB3. And I don't know if I can spend that when there's, especially in redraft. I mean, there's just so many other useful options. And if he's being drafted above someone like DeMario Davis, I'm like, all right, well, give me DeMario Davis until the wheels fall off.
Oh, easily. Yeah. I mean, I've seen him go ahead of guys like Dre Greenlaw and, you know, Rashawn Evans, who I think are in safer roles and could easily outproduce just based on snaps alone. Right.
So,
yeah. Anyways, let's go on to the Houston Texans. I gave you all the good teams.
I mean, you got Christian Kirksey, who actually had kind of a healthy season. I mean, 13 games. Okay. If he hits double digits, that's a healthy season for Kirksey. Yeah. So really, he's the one that I'm kind of taking. Other than that, I mean, it's basically a crowded group of Brooklyn Brawler type jobbers.
You got
Blake Cashman, Kamu Grugier-Hill, who only played because Zach Cunningham got cut, and he played just out of necessity. Neville Hewitt, Kevin Pierre-Louis, Garrett Wallow. I like Christian Harris for Dynasty. I know Kirksey has singled him out as a pretty fast and talented guy. So, but other than that, I'm not touching any of the other Houston linebackers.
Yeah, I think Kamu Grugier-Hill might be worth a shot. I mean, if he's starting, it's a two linebacker team. I think Lovie Smith, that is the only defense in the league that didn't play a single snap in Dime last year.
Yeah.
So he loves his linebackers out there. Mm-hmm. So somebody's going to be relevant. And it seems like Grugier-Hill is the front runner right now. I mean, at this point, though, it's such a mess. We talked about Christian Harris in the rookie linebackers pod and talked about how he's got to fight, like five duck-sized horses, basically, to get to a starting spot. And, you know, it might be annoying and it might take a minute to get there, but eventually he's going to do it. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that difficult a task. So, right now, I think you're right. Christian Kirksey, for sure. I'm willing to take a shot on Grugier-Hill, but again, I don't expect a full season out of these guys, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them lose their job at some point. So, again, draft with caution there. Any rookies from this group that Petra, you like?
Yeah. Jalen Petra.
Okay.
Probably him. Yep. And I think that's... I mean, I don't think did they draft any, I can't remember if they drafted any edge rushers.
Not really.
Of note, but it's Jalen Petre and probably Christian Kirksey in redraft this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know.
I think it's just going to be a very boring defense.
Yeah. That's the Lovie Smith style, right? So, Derek Stingley, but that's a corner. I don't really care to draft that one. And Jalen Petre, you never know. He might work in there. And it's a disgusting group of safeties that they have there. Eric Murray, I think Jonathan Owens.
Yeah.
These are Jags if there ever was any. So
yeah. Petre played near the line of scrimmage. I think he played the majority of those snaps up on the line. So that's what I'm interested in.
Yep, for sure. We will go to the Indianapolis Colts. So we have the newly named Shaquille Leonard, aka Darius. Not healthy right now. He's got the back injury. That's a little worrisome. We don't know if he's going to be available for the start of the year. Obviously, until then, it's Bobby Okereke, Gus Bradley. You know, he's the new defensive coordinator there. He did run a fair bit of Dime compared to the rest of the league, so we could see whoever that secondary linebacker ends up being, whether it's Okereke with Leonard in there or it seems like Zaire Franklin with Leonard out. So those guys might come off the field a little bit more than they would last year under Matt Eberflus. So that's something to just be aware of. But it is a very zone heavy, linebacker friendly team for whoever ends up being their primary guy, whether that's Leonard or Okereke. yeah, it's I don't know what to think of Darius Leonard or Shaquille Leonard, whatever it is. Maybe he gets back in the first month of the season, but I don't know. The reports, you know, have been spotty. I don't know really what to trust at this point.
It's worrisome. Backs are worrisome. Nobody has ever gotten a healthy back. it's a tough injury.
Yeah.
And at this point, you're supposed to be your healthiest, and now you've had back surgery, and now you've got that. So,
right,
it's rough. And when you say, well, he's going to play at some point, and when the coaches have said we don't need him at the beginning of the season, just reading the teams, I'm like, all right, well, I don't think he's going to be available for a full season,
right?
So I think I've moved him outside of my top 15.
Yep.
So again, kind of like what we said with Roquan, maybe draft him as an LB2 if he continues to fall. But yeah, it was Zaire Franklin and not EJ Speed that got the start and wore the dot. So they were heavy two linebackers. So I mean, and Okereke and Leonard played pretty much all the snaps when they could, if they weren't hurt. But yeah, right now, Okereke is I think has an ADP of probably, I think, within the 10th, 12th round, somewhere around there, which isn't horrible. He's probably the one that I'm targeting and, just kind of moving on from there. But yeah, Zaire Franklin, kind of a guy, not much upside. I mean, if you're starting three or four linebackers tail end of the draft and kind of slot him in as maybe a fourth linebacker, if he's in a good matchup, and just kind of see what happens, and things don't happen, then you can always just cut bait and move on.
Yeah. And that's exactly where I've picked him up to. Like any leagues that I start three or four, I pick him up and we'll see if he holds on to that role or if Leonard misses that beginning of the season. But yeah, just to your point with Leonard, I'm with you. I think dropping him at least outside of the top 12 is fair, just because of the uncertainty around his start of the season. But we shall see. And then as far as rookies go, I mean, I think the one that most people are aware of by now is Nick Cross, right? He looks to be starting in that strong safety role for Gus Bradley's defense, which we've seen produce some very relevant IDP safeties over the years, whether it was Derwin James or Jonathan Cyprian or Jonathan Abram last season. So it's a very box heavy role, which is a big boost to tackle efficiency. And I would love to see a rookie like Nick Cross kind of take that role and hold it for the whole season, because it would be super productive. And he was somebody that you could grab for almost nothing in rookie drafts until Kyrie Willis retired. But even still was a discount for a while. Now I think
it's starting to come up. Yeah, because we didn't really know his role. Yeah. And with Kyrie Willis, I think I had him as my DB4 until he retired. I'm not going to go as crazy and put Nick Cross as my DB4.
Right.
But I did put him in within, you know, my top 25, because there's upside for tackles. So like you said, Gus Bradley likes using his strong safeties. He uses them pretty frequently, and we've seen that they produce. So, you know, Cross is a big hitter from Maryland, so I think he's going to get an opportunity.
For sure. All right. Who do we have for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Oh, boy. We have Jacksonville, who doled out a crap ton of money like Dumb and Dumber, like Jim Carrey handing out the money in the briefcase, just handing it all out. Handed out a gazillion dollars to Fasade Aluokun, who didn't do a whole lot of things very well in Atlanta. Again, he had 190 tackles, but he wasn't very good overall. So I think he's probably going to call the plays. I think Devin Lloyd is probably going to be the guy that plays the majority of the snaps alongside him. What's really going to be interesting to see is if Jacksonville decides to say, you know what, we're just going to play three linebackers. So it's going to be Muma, Aluokun, and Lloyd. So I don't know. Muma looked really good. I know he had a really nice play in that preseason game, kind of slithered through an opening and made a nice tackle for a loss. He's a tackle machine.
Yeah.
I really was bummed that he went to Jacksonville, because he was my LB1 for my rookie draft. So I was just kind of bummed to see there. But the thing is, though, I think we still need to I know we love our rookies, but I think sometimes we do need to temper expectations for some of these guys. Devin Lloyd does look like a blue chip prospect that is a prototypical three down linebacker. So So right now, it probably would be Fusada and Devin Lloyd right now, who are the guys that I'm targeting. Mm-hmm. I'd be a little bit hesitant sometimes with a new team, but Liu Kun just kind of finds himself in a really good situation where they spend a ton of money on him, and they have to play him. So, is he going to get another 190 tackles? Who knows? But I mean, he's still locked into to a three down roll.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I think they're basically pot committed to play Foye Liu Kun at this point as an every down player. And then, yeah, I'm with you too with Devin Lloyd. I mean, it's a bummer that he's not playing right now because of the hamstring, but mm-hmm. from all reports, it sounds like it's precautionary or whatever, that he's not going to be in there. Hopefully we'll get some work in before the end of the preseason, but he's the guy that I'd be targeting as well, with Chad Muma being, you know, either a waiver wire or late round pick just in case. But it's again, it's at least likely to be decent defense for linebackers, because mm-hmm. Mike Caldwell came over from Tampa Bay, where we had Devin White and Levante David in zone heavy cover two schemes. They played every down. They blitzed their linebackers a ton as well, which is something that Devin Lloyd was very good at in college. And I think it's really a perfect fit for him in that scheme. So it's hard to imagine him not being an IDP asset right from the get-go, as long as he's healthy. But we've obviously been fooled before with rookies. So like you said, you gotta be, you know, careful, but every once in a while that one, like in a position like this, hits, and, you know, we're talking about them as a LB1 type situation the next year. So I think Devin Lloyd has that potential, but we shall see. Yep. Other rookies, Trayvon Walker. What did you think about him in his first appearances?
Something tells me he's going to make me eat my words that he was a fade, but I know that first game. He's doing it. If I'm not mistaken, well, no, he wasn't playing against the first team against Cleveland. That wasn't their first team offensive line. Was that their first team offensive line?
I'm trying to remember.
I think so.
Cedric Wills was out there.
No, I don't think he played. No? I think Wyatt Teller and I think those guys played, but
yeah. Well, he didn't have a particularly productive game, really. I mean, small sample size, but
yeah.
He's going to be out there a lot. They're mm-hmm. letting him rush the passer from the edge, which is important. Can't stunt for shit still, unfortunately, but he has a chance. He could be productive just based on volume alone until he develops those athletic traits into an actual pass rush repertoire. But I think that's going to take some time. I think he still is a project, and you know, as much as preseason hype is going to bump him up boards and things like that and get people excited, I think there's still reason to be cautious with Trayvon Walker.
Yep.
So let's go on to Kansas City here.
Kansas City.
Yeah. So since this is a show focused on three down linebackers, we could probably just skip the Chiefs altogether. No. So Nick Bolton, I mean, I have him outside of my top 30. I get.
Wow. That. Really? I'll be honest. I think I have him in my top 20.
Yeah. I can understand why, because if it's an every down role or close to it. Yeah. We know that he's a very good run defender. He mm-hmm. puts himself in the right position to make tackles. It's Steve Spagnuolo. That's the only reason he's down there, right? And mm-hmm. we know he hates IDP. We know he likes to mess with us. And I think right now he's dangling the hook in front of us. He might be tricking us a little bit. And I'm just worried that we're going to see that same smaller role than what we we're hoping for, basically. You know, this is a guy was super, super efficient last year. Mm-hmm. 19.43% tackle efficiency is insane. That by itself screams regression.
And his pass rush was hyper efficient too.
Yeah. So, you know, that was, if you're looking at a snap share of, if it ends up being around that 65 to 70% range again, you're mm-hmm. definitely creating a hole for yourself. If you're expecting him to be an LB1 or LB2, chances are, you know, there's at least, at least a chance that it could be higher than that, just because Anthony Hitchens isn't there anymore and it's another year in the system and maybe more comfortable. Spags isn't playing him. There's also Willie Gay there.
Neiman's gone too, who always factored into some snaps. For whatever reason.
Yeah, Ben Neiman, they would use him as, he was their dime linebacker. Mm-hmm. When they wanted one linebacker on the field.
And then you had Dan Sorensen, two of the just two people you do not want anywhere insane. Near a football field.
It's so strange. So both of those guys are gone. Maybe Willie Gay works into being that dime linebacker for them.
I mean, all of those training camp clips, I mean, it's like, why? And I'm falling into the Willie Gay love, and I'm going to continue. And it's like Star Wars, Kylo Ren. I know I shouldn't. I know I can't do it, and I know I need to let go, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
Yeah, I got him on a couple taxi squads. I'm still not ready to call him up, basically, right? He's not until I see it. So it's such a weird situation. I mean, you could easily see, again, a snap increase for Nick Bolton would be huge. I think that would be the biggest thing. It's just trusting Spags to do that. I could see them easily coming out and being like, oh, yeah, Jermaine Carter's going to play 45% of the snaps and just completely bust us on that one. So,
yeah, I mean, if he can come in and play 850 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
12 or 13% tackle rate,
mm-hmm.
which is, I'm sorry, as much as I love Nick Bolton, I'm not expecting a 19%. No. I'm not expecting a 19% tackle rate. But if he can play 850 snaps, 13% tackle rate, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Okay. You got to believe Spagnuolo's forgotten more football than we know.
Sure.
He's got two really good linebackers.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at Nick Bolton, you look at Willie Gay, and then you look at Anthony Hitchens, you look at Ben Neiman, you're like, yeah, we're going to go with these guys the majority of the time. I don't know. And then of course, you know, we talk rookies. Then they draft Leo Chanel,
right?
Who has also looked like a bat out of hell. And I think coming out of Wisconsin, his issue was coverage. You guys graded him as a 76th and made solid plays in coverage. And so is he going to factor in the mix?
That's the other part of it, right? It's funny because Leo Chanel is very much like Nick Bolton was the year before coming out, mm-hmm. right? They had very similar numbers as far as being these great run defenders, but mm-hmm. coverage was a question mark. Of course, now they're both on the same team. So it's like, how do they factor in? I mean, I'm not touching Leo Chanel in
drafts. No, not in redraft. No. I mean, you guys graded Nick Bolton third in coverage against, I mean, granted, you only played 9 snaps.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're not going to call them Darrell Revis at linebacker right now,
right,
but
right.
I mean, he obviously did something to stand out to those analysts to have a pretty decent grade in coverage. So,
I know it's hard. I'm probably low on him, but I'm blaming Spagnuolo. Yep. And if I'm right, whatever, I'll be annoyed by it. And if I'm wrong, I'll be annoyed by that too. So I can't
you're in a lose-lose situation.
I really am. I really, really am.
Yeah.
Is Bolton, is he wearing the dot? Is that the, okay.
Yep. He is calling the plays. Yep.
All right. Las Vegas Raiders. Who do you got there?
So this is an interesting one. New defensive coordinator, whole new coaching staff. So they're not really beholden to anybody else. So there's no loyalty here. So for me, I'm completely fading Denzel Perriman. If he's there the late rounds, which he's not going to be because people are drafting him thinking he's going to repeat. So I'm not going to have any of them. He called the plays, played 83% of the snaps, but still was kind of a coverage liability. Mm-hmm. I think he allowed a 115 quarterback rating when he was targeted. So for me, I'm fading Perriman and I am looking at Divine Diablo. So I think he's going to end up being the one. at least that I think is gonna get the three down roll. I know he called the plays in that first preseason game at the Hall of Fame game. They didn't play at all in week one and week two. They didn't play at all. So Perriman has also had some injury issues in the past. So I'm not paying for that hyper efficiency again. I know Micah Kaiser's already out for the year. They got Kenny Young. I'm not factoring, I think Jayon Brown, I'm not factoring him in. So for me, it's just Divine Diablo. And if he breaks out, great. And if he doesn't, I'll be bummed, but that's the one I'm targeting.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, Diablo, obviously one of the best names in the NFL as well. And yeah, I think he brings a little bit more to the position than what Denzel Perriman does, especially in coverage as a former safety. So, Patrick Graham's the new defensive coordinator there. And they were, when he was with the Giants, ran 22% dime rate. So that could crush one of those linebackers, whoever ends up being the guy to come off the field a little bit more. Then you got to consider Josh McDaniels coming over from New England. Yeah, we're rotating defensive players and causing headaches for IDP managers as part of their religion. So it's a weird group, but I think, you could take a shot on either guy, just take it into the middle late rounds, because it's going to be a very different situation than what we saw last year with the Raiders. So it'll be one to monitor for sure. Yep. Who is wearing the green dot over there?
I know this past week it was Divine Diablo. I honestly didn't really watch who was wearing it. I thought it might have been Jayon Brown, but I didn't really take a look.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's hard to tell, right? If Perriman or somebody isn't playing, it's not super clear who it is. All right, let's go on to the Los Angeles Chargers, where Drew Tranquil and Derwin James are the top linebackers there. I'm really betting on a linebacker heavy role for Derwin James this year. Just because I could easily see the Chargers being one of the biggest risers in that dime personnel rate this season, just considering their offseason alone, right? Not addressing the linebacker position. Troy Reader doesn't count. And then drafting JT Woods, who's a deep safety in the third round out of Baylor. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for Derwin to kind of step closer to the line of scrimmage and help down the box a little bit there. And Brandon Staley too, right? He ran a very dime heavy scheme with the Rams. Didn't necessarily have the personnel to do it in his first year with the Chargers, but I think drafting Woods, bringing in guys like Bryce Callahan, JC Jackson to help fill out the DB room, says they want more defensive backs on the field this season. Tranquil, I think, as far as linebackers goes, looks like the front runner right now. Kenneth Murray's probably a distant second. Still developing, still having some issues. Kyle Van Noy is in there, plays kind of a dual role as a very similar to like a Frankie Louvu or Micah Parsons. We don't want to compare those two, but he's a pass rusher, he's a linebacker, he does a little bit of everything. So how about you? What do you think about the
I don't have anything to add. I was just looking again some ADP, and I saw Kenneth Murray is an LB24, and that is, folks, don't draft Kenneth Murray. Just don't do it. I'd rather draft Kyle Van Noy and hopefully hope that maybe he plays some off ball linebacker, but don't draft Kenneth Murray. Staley just does not seem to like him at all. And I don't know, but it's for me though, it is Tranquil and James.
And Staley wasn't the one that drafted Kenneth Murray either,
exactly. Right?
The one that's kind of having to deal with him. And yeah, like you said, it doesn't seem like he's overly excited about him. It's LB24. My God, I would hope nobody's taking him that high.
Yeah, I know.
The other LA team, the Rams.
Bobby Wagner. I don't mind Ernest Jones. I'm buying into those into some of that that intangible nothingness of Ernest Jones attached at Bobby Wagner's hip, that preseason camp speak where you know, he's attached at the hip and soaking in the information, which means absolutely nothing, but you don't mind to hear. You're like, all right, cool. Cause that's fitting my narrative because I like Ernest Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think Ernest Jones can play 75% of the snaps. I know, again, they're a single, I know they were very, still very single linebacker heavy. I think they were, if I'm not mistaken, over 50%, they were single. So I do know, you know, just watching those first, I think it was those first nine plays, they ran two linebacker, five out of the nine, single, four out of the nine. So,
yeah.
Take that for what you will, but I don't know if the Rams see 1,000 snaps, I'm hoping for 750 for Jones. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then I like him as a late round sleeper. And it does not hurt that you're playing behind a really good defensive line. And anytime you're playing behind Aaron Donald, but yeah, Bobby Wagner is of course, top linebacker. Continue to draft him as one of the top linebackers. He's going to call the plays again. So if they do continue to run a single linebacker at that heavy clip, Wagner's not coming off the field, especially for the money that they paid him. And again, he's a good line and he's a good player, obviously a really good player.
Yeah. Yeah. Best linebacker they've had in a while. And yeah, he's my LB1 for this season, Wagner. And yeah, I think you're right. You know, taking a shot on Jones late, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, as long as we don't expect that full-time role or, mm-hmm. you know, a massive increase in snaps, because this is still going to be a dime heavy team.
Yep.
You know, whether it's the same, to the same extent as last season or not, I don't know. But again, this is a team that won the Super Bowl with that style of defense. If it ain't broke, you know, don't fix it. So it's hard to argue more linebackers on the field. It's and I get that they like Ernest Jones. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, he's going to work his way. He's going to play. It's just how much and what he does with those snaps that's going to make his season make or break, and I'm just not willing to bet on it too early in drafts. But I think, like you said, if you're grabbing him late, there's nothing wrong with that. And no rookies, because you can't have rookies if you don't have draft picks. So
It's kind of tough.
So we could move on to the Miami Dolphins here. I mean, it's Jerome Baker still at this point. After that, it's a Landon Roberts, Duke Riley, Sam Egwuogbowen, and Channing Tindall fighting it out for a smaller LB2 role. And apparently it's in that order as well, based on what they did this preseason. The first half was played entirely by Duke Riley and Sam Egwuogbowen, with Jerome Baker and a Landon Roberts out. Tindall mm-hmm. didn't come in until the second half, which is a bummer to see, because I think he's probably has a chance to be the best linebacker on that team, even over Jerome Baker with some development, but it's going to take some time. I wouldn't be expecting it for this season. I think the Dolphins, they're still very likely going to run a man heavy, possibly blitz heavy defensive scheme with Josh Boyer mm-hmm. staying on as the defensive coordinator. I don't really love any of these linebackers for this season, minus, you know, a massive shift in their defensive deployment because of all that. So Jerome Baker, more of an LB3 type, I think, if that's where you're taking him. Other than that, mm-hmm. it's not really worth investing in any of these guys in drafts.
Yeah, I still like Baker. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still getting 85% of the snaps, and you know what you're getting, and you're also getting pass rush upside. I think he had a 16.5% pressure rate over the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. So you're getting some of that sack upside. So I like that along with his tackle numbers. Honestly, Channing Tindall is probably already a better linebacker than Landon Roberts and Sam Egwuogbowen and all them, Duke Riley. I think in the 25 snaps that you played, you guys graded him pretty highly, especially in coverage. So, I mean, I know he's probably playing against third. I think at that point when he came in, probably third stringers, but I'd like to see him against first and second stringers, just to kind of see what he can do. I'm not taking any of the other linebackers. I'll take a shot on Channing Tindall deep and kind of see what happens. Yeah. But boy, that whole Georgia defense, did they turn out some talent. It's insane.
It is
the talent that they turned out.
It's unbelievable. The defense. It's just there's guys at on almost every team that we've talked about. It's just like rookie out of Georgia. It's pretty impressive. And yeah, I'm with you. I like Tindall, and I hope Miami gives him a shot to play against first teamers.
Both very speedy. Both Baker and him are speedy. Yeah. So
yeah, that's for sure. Because yeah, it'd be nice to see him get that coverage grade against guys that don't run the same 40 time as I do. So we'll see. Let's go on to the Minnesota Vikings. Who do you got there?
So it's probably going to be Eric Kendricks. I still have him as a top 10 guy, but new defensive scheme and new defensive coordinator. So honestly, I'm not quite sure who's going to call the plays. I kind of have an idea. I mean, Anthony Barr called the plays, but he's in Dallas. So for me, I'm definitely targeting Eric Kendricks as my top linebacker. He's going to be the three down guy. He did not play Harrison Smith nor Kendricks played. Jordan Hicks got the start. And he was actually the one who called the plays. Obviously, he has the experience. I think he did it with Philadelphia, and I think he definitely did in Arizona. So he definitely has the experience. He's got the voice. And I think he would be the front runner to do it. I don't think it's going to be Eric Kendricks. It could potentially be Harrison Smith, but again, with a new defensive coordinator, I think it's all up in the air as to who could do it. But, but in terms of the linebackers, you know, obviously, like I said, Eric Kendricks is going to be a top 10 guy, but I don't mind Jordan Hicks. Mm-hmm. He's durable. He had some injury issues in the first couple of seasons. But I don't mind that Jordan Hicks is an LB3 or 4. And especially if he's going to call the plays and stay on the field, Minnesota is a little bit vanilla. They are still going to be a two linebacker heavy system. Even with this new scheme switch, I don't think they're going to be very heavy in that 3-4 base, but I still think they're going to be full-time guys. I know they've talked up Hicks. I think it was the defensive coordinator, or maybe even the coach said he liked Hicks anyway and has wanted him. So they got him. I think he's there for a couple of years, and I think it's going to be those two.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Kendricks, I'm with you. I think he can still be a top linebacker option. Hicks, yeah, he's the obvious second choice there. I think, you know, with Ed Donatell coming over from Denver, he did run a little bit more dime. We're going to talk about dime a lot, just because that's the trend of the NFL, right? It's less linebackers on the field. So he was above average in dime personnel last year, 16.8%. So it's like 13th, something like that. What I think is interesting is, you know, their safety group, Harrison Smith, Cameron Bynum, Lewis Cine, I think could very well increase that number if Cine is ready, if Bynum is ready in Minnesota, which I think could potentially hurt Hicks's IDP value.
Yeah.
We'll see. They're starting Cameron Bynum, it seems, over Lewis Cine right now. Just as far as the top two linebackers go, it's him and Harrison Smith. But I think, you know, Cine probably gets his way into a starting job at some point too. But at the very least, you know, if they are going to be a dime heavy team, or they start to veer more towards that, then Lewis Cine could have some relevancy in super, super deep leagues. But, Jordan Hicks, I think, like you said, LB3 or 4, I think still worth a shot there. There's still a big chunk of snaps that he can be relevant with.
Yeah, with you saying that, I think whoever wears the dot, I think is going to tell you exactly what you need to know, how Donatell's going to deploy his linebackers, and how, if it is Eric Kendricks, or if it's Harrison Smith, then I think you could probably think, all right, well, single linebacker packages is probably going to be Hicks. That's probably going to come off the field.
Right.
But at this point, should say Donatell ran what, a dime 16, 20, 20% of the time?
16.8%. So 17%, 13th in the league. So it was up there, above average anyways, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, that was in Denver, where the safety options weren't abundant. Maybe they like their safeties in Minnesota more. Maybe they don't. Who knows? We'll see again once we start week one. But that's just something to kind of keep in the back of minds during drafts. So we'll go on to the New England Patriots. And again, since we're talking three down linebackers, we can maybe skip New England.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Juwan Bentley, I mean, is the quote unquote starter, but the guy played 69% of defensive snaps last season. If he wasn't like uber efficient, which he was at 15.79% tackle efficiency, which was 11.3 tackles over expected, then it likely wouldn't have been, would have been a little bit more obvious that he's not like an ideal draft target in IDP leagues. But I think mm-hmm. most people are aware anyways, they're not taking Juwan Bentley too high in, yep. in IDP drafts, just because we all are aware of the shenanigans that Bill Belichick and company like to do there. So yep. really nobody of interest. I don't know, any rookies or anything, any sleepers on this team that you like?
Maybe Cameron McGrone.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's really about it. I know they liked him coming out of Michigan.
Yeah.
So that's really the only name that kind of intrigues me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked McGrone a little bit too. I remember talking about him last year with Kyle B, and he was a Michigan fan. So he watched a lot of McGrone too. And we talked about if he could get into a starting job in New England, maybe it happens this year, because definitely didn't happen last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a linebacker friendly team, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. We could go on to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, Saints is pretty simple. DeMario Davis. Mm-hmm. And you know, he wears the dot. And if I looked at his career numbers and everything, and if I looked at looked at all the games played, has he missed only one game?
Yeah, no, he's
in his entire career.
Super, super reliable, consistent. Like, people get frustrated with, they were frustrated with him last year because, you know, he wasn't producing 20 tackles a game, but the guy, like, you cannot complain about the consistency. Yeah.
I could not believe, and I'm looking, I'm like 16, 16, 16, yeah. 16, 16. I'm like, wait, this son of a bitch has never missed a game. Holy shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's DeMario Davis, rock solid LB2. I know Pete Werner has been dealing with a little bit of a soft tissue injury. I think it's a hamstring, something along those lines, but I don't think you're probably going to see either of those two in preseason games. At least I probably wouldn't put him out. You pretty much, you can roll DeMario Davis out. He knows what he's doing. I'd like to see Pete Werner on the field a little bit, but if not, I think it's going to be those two. I think Werner's in a good position to be a breakout. I know the Saints don't do much experimentation as far as I'm concerned. For what I saw, they don't do a whole lot of dime. They didn't run a whole lot of single linebackers. It was mostly two linebackers. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's going to be those two. And that's really who I'm targeting. You know, they let Quan Alexander go. So again, that kind of opens up some things for Werner to break out. I'm not worried about John Bostic. I'm not worried about his presence at all.
No, Bostic probably a camp body at this point. We'll see if he makes the roster, but you know, he's been a reliable vet in the past, so he might work his way into some snaps. I got Pete Werner a little bit over 70% of a snap share, DeMario Davis still being their every down guy. Mm-hmm. Again, though, this is a team, you know, very man heavy, very blitz heavy. So it's mm-hmm. not completely ideal for a linebacker like a DeMario Davis, who has those primary responsibilities. So it played a part in, you know, some of his numbers last season that were a bit disappointing. He had a negative 26 tackles below expected, even in the man heavy. But, you know, he's also getting older, and you're not, again, that just that reliability of him being there every single week. He comes in, you know, 7-8 tackles, whatever it is for the week. Sometimes it's double digits, sometimes not, but every once in a while he pops a sack in there as well. So mm-hmm. he's got at least 3 sacks in every season pretty much. So you like to see things like that, and I do expect more of a bounce back for him to more of his norm this season as well. But again, he's getting older, we'll see what happens. And rookies, I don't think there's anybody really.
Yeah. Who did they? Yeah. The one dude I really liked who had a really good name heading into the draft, Smoke Monday. I know Smoke, he's on IR. Monday. I know he's done for the year. So I was kind of bummed to see that. But yeah, I don't know.
DeMarco Jackson out of Appalachian State was a lot, but again, the linebacker room is full. I think he's even hurt. Yeah. That's, So let's go on to the New York Giants here, where we should get the return of Blake Martinez this year. Speaking of reliable linebackers who typically didn't miss any games, obviously last year he got hurt, but this was a guy that was putting a minimum of 140 tackles every single season. He is an IDP god at this point. I mean, look, when he's healthy, he's an elite IDP, and and the guy has been as efficient and reliable as any linebacker the past four seasons prior to that injury last year. We can't really hold that against him since he's given us so much, and I think as long as he's healthy, he's going to give it again. The Giants are moving to what is likely to be a more man-heavy defense, probably about 10 to 12% more than what they were last season, so maybe that plays a part in a lower production for him. We'll see. He's still Blake Martinez. He's consistently around the ball. After him, you got Tate Crowder still kicking around as their LB2 for now somehow. But hopefully they rotate in some of the younger guys, which I think they will, because, you know, they got Micah McFadden, who's a decent blitzer, which Martindale likes to use. And then they've been using Darian Beavers as well, getting in some work there in place of Crowder on occasion. So, I mean, Blake Martinez is the main one. I don't know if I could bring myself to draft any of the other ones. Maybe Crowder for now, unfortunately, at the end of a draft. But, yeah, I know Beavers is kind of interesting if anything happens to somebody else. But
Yeah, I think Beavers is kind of being, if I'm reading into things, I think for at least Dynasty, I think I'm interested in Darian Beavers, because I do think he might actually end up being groomed to take over for Blake Martinez if he does leave in free agency. I know he wore the dot, I think, when he was on the field. I think McKinney's going to wear it, though, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Wink Martindale used Chuck Clark, so I think he could go in a similar path with McKinney. So that'll be interesting to see if he does go that route instead of using Blake Martinez. But yeah, it's Martinez, and I'm not interested in anybody else really.
No, for sure. Yeah, and then as far as rookies go, I mean, we talked about McFadden, we talked about Beavers. But Kayvon Thibodeaux is obviously the big one, right? We'll see what he can do as a rookie. And I kind of like Dane Belton, their fourth round pick out of Iowa, but broke his collarbone this offseason and could be back in time for week one, they say. And I thought he had a good chance to steal Julian Love's job, but I don't know. It's going to be hard to do that if he's not in training camp, so nothing really of interest there. Let's go to the New York Jets.
Boy, another, I don't know, this defense is in the shape of to probably not be a good one. It was good to see Mosley return, though. He had opted out of 2020, injured 2019, and all he did was record 168 tackles with a 15% tackle efficiency. So for me, it's Mosley. He'll probably wear the dot again. Honestly, I'm probably, in terms of past that, I think Quan Alexander is more of a threat to Quincy Williams than anything else. I think they brought in Quan Alexander to compete and to play. That's one of the reasons why I think he left New Orleans, is to go to New York, where he was going to have the opportunity to start. So just watching it that first game, Jets ran a lot of three linebacker sets. I think that they, at the outset, it was Quan, Damian Phillips, and Quincy Williams. I do think Quan came off the field when they did run two linebacker sets, but I do think Quan is going to have an impact on Quincy Williams. Quincy Williams graded, I think, very poorly last year. Mosley did too. I don't think he graded very, very well either, but he's the guy, and he's not coming off the field. So I know Quincy Williams struggled against the run. I think Quan does a few things a little bit better. And if I'm not mistaken, Quan was in San Francisco while Robert Saleh was there. So there's that familiarity. So taking that into account, I'm probably fading Quincy Williams. I'm probably fading Quincy Williams this year. Target CJ Mosley. He's going to be your LB1. And then that's kind of it.
Yep. No, I think that's fair. I think there's definitely at least reason to be a little bit cooler on a Quincy Williams with Quan Alexander signing. I mean, CJ Mosley, like you said, he's in a great spot to produce once again this year. Great value in draft still. This is a guy plus 20 in tackles over expected last year. So really, really good as far as IDP goes. We don't really care about the grades when he's going to be on the field and putting up tackle numbers like that. Yeah, Quincy obviously wasn't great. You know, he wasn't even that efficient as a tackler either. Mm-hmm. So there is a chance there for an improvement if we see maybe a Quan Alexander, not a very dime heavy team. And then as far as rookies go, as much as I like Jermaine Johnson, their first round pick out of FSU, not somebody I'm interested in for this season. And I don't care to draft Sauce Gardner for IDP this year either. But I don't know. How about you?
What about flavor of the week? Michael Clemens came in and had a huge game.
Did he? Well,
yeah, I think he was a fourth round pick.
Okay.
Yeah, fourth round pick. He came in and I don't remember at what situation, but yeah, seven pressures, a sack. I think he played 30 snaps. So,
yeah.
I don't know. He's been getting a lot of run. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, probably a safe bet to make the team at least. Yeah. Right. And I think it's just for me, if Carl Lawson's healthy,
that's
a great addition for them. And then, you know, they got a John Franklin Myers and, Jermaine Johnson, obviously the first round pick. So there's a limited amount of snaps, I think, for somebody like that. But I mean, at least if for Dynasty, why not stash him if you have the space, right? So somebody.
And I think Bryce Huff is still probably going to have a factor in, right? That's, I mean, true. Even though he's meh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think so too. And I'm mostly just excited to see Carl Lawson back. I am too.
And you could practically have him for free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. And he's getting that camp hype again. So he's just wrap him in bubble wrap.
Exactly. Just don't play him. Yeah. He's yoked. He looks yoked and it's just
crazy.
Insane. Pressure monster. I think he had 26 quarterback hits in his last healthy season. So if he converts a few of those into sacks, I don't see any reason why he won't hit double digits this year.
Yeah. I'm betting on him hitting double digits this year if he's healthy for sure. Yep. All right, let's go to the city of brotherly love, the Philadelphia Eagles. It is looking like it's TJ Edwards and Kaiser White to start the year at least. Yep. But those are the guys running with the first team and the guys that are getting the talk in camp as well. And as much as we want N'Kobe Dean to be a thing, we need to be patient, right? We need to reset rookie expectations when it comes to redraft versus dynasty. Yep. We could love Dean for dynasty, but we can also never draft him in a redraft league this year. And that's okay.
Yep.
TJ Edwards was really good last season. He had a 76.3 overall grade, had just a 4.9% missed tackle rate, and he was first to the ball on 11% of plays, which was 14th among all linebackers last year. So he's a good player. He's a good IDP. I think, you know, the battle of Kaiser White versus N'Kobe Dean is really the only one. I think TJ Edwards is safe, but it's in White's favor right now, which makes sense and something we've talked about this offseason. I think if Dean is going to take over, it's going to be either right away or due to an injury, but I wouldn't expect it to be like a mid-season thing where they just decide, oh, N'Kobe Dean's the better option than Kaiser White. It looks like it'll be Edwards and White for the year. And the Eagles are very much a heavy two linebacker team. So you can trust both those guys and get them at pretty good prices, I think.
I think so too. TJ Edwards is from what I've seen, still being ignored. Yeah. You know, you'll see the snap count at 65%, but then Philly realized Eric Wilson sucks and Alex Singleton sucks. TJ Edwards is our best linebacker. The final eight games, I don't think he had a package usage rate fewer than 92% of the snaps. Right. So he was the signal caller. So he's the guy I'm wanting. And I think you hit it pretty much kind of what I'm thinking. I like N'Kobe Dean, good player, but I think he's probably going to be kind of a rotational guy as he's eased in. As much as people want Davian Taylor to be a thing, I don't think that's going to happen either. It's TJ Edwards and probably Kazir White a little bit, maybe a few runs later.
I mean, Edwards, last year, like you said, the snap counts, they were reluctant to use him for whatever reason. And then he proved them wrong once he was given that chance. So they're looking to stick with him now. So that is nice to see him get rewarded for that strong season. But let's stay in Pennsylvania and head to your other favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So... Well, from things that I'm reading, Devin Bush may not even make the team. He went from wearing the dot to now potentially not making the team. And if you hear the way he talks, he doesn't care. I know how Steelers players are, and I know how they take on the personality of their coach. When you hear those guys talk, and Devin Bush was like, well, you know, when asked about being in Pittsburgh, I said, I'm going to be in the NFL. I may not be here. I think that just sounds like a guy who's kind of checked out. So for me, I can't put much faith into Devin Bush in coming back as a bounce back year. So for me, he's out. From what I can tell, Miles Jack is having a pretty good camp. So he's the only guy that I would be targeting. They still have Robert Spillane. He was their dime linebacker. He came on for Schobert and Bush, but I think Jack is probably going to be the three down guy. I know he struggled a little bit, kind of the tail end towards Jacksonville, but I like, he's in a pretty good situation in Pittsburgh. Talk about a 180 in cultures between Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, with Mike Tomlin and now Brian Flores as his linebacker coach. So from what I've been hearing with Jack is that he is just laser focused and ready to go. So Jack is the one I want and the one I would be targeting. I think his ADP is down, so I think you can get him at a pretty nice discount. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this week with Bush and Jack, to see what happens, but I don't know. Bush just he sounds like a bust, and I think that knee injury just kind of sapped things out of him, and he just sounds like he's checked out.
Yeah, he was really bad last year, and it looks to just be carrying over. I didn't hear that quote that you mentioned, but that's definitely concerning. Yeah. It's also concerning when they're saying that Robert Spillane and him are battling for snaps as well. So that pretty much makes both of those guys worthless for me. I mean, Miles Jack, like you said, is the only one that I'd be interested in. And, you know, he was the guy that we've always been excited about, had this potential, but always kind of finished as the LB2 on his own team and never really lived up to it. So it would be hard for him to, I think, finish as LB2 this year if he's healthy with the Steelers. So I'll be happy to take Miles Jack in the later rounds this season and hope that he has a nice little resurgence there. Devin Bush, I'm out. I mean, I'm not taking him. I'm not taking Robert Spillane. That's pretty much it. I don't think is there any rookies on this team that are worth anything?
DeMarvin Neal, maybe. I don't know. I think Larry Ogunjobi coming and kind of hit put a kibosh on and potentially has any of his redraft value, because as soon as Tuitt retired, I'm like, okay,
right,
Neal could be thrust in, and then I think it wasn't too much longer than the Steelers brought in Ogunjobi.
Yeah, and that's a nice pickup for them too. Ogunjobi and Cameron Hayward there on the inside is a nice little combo. They're going to be a pain in the ass to play against again, and they're probably going to have a competitive team because that's what Mike Tomlin does. So we'll go on to the San Francisco 49ers. I think this is a pretty cut and dry one as well. Fred Warner, Drake Greenlaw, those are the two guys that are going to be out there every down again, as long as they're healthy. I know people like Azeez Al-Shaair to keep being a thing, but we got to remember that he played as an injury fill-in last year. We got him for cheap. Yep. That was great when it happened. If it happens again this year, great. Otherwise, we have to wait for that injury to happen. So Greenlaw started every game that he was healthy last year. He is the better player. The 49ers two linebacker team. That's a good thing for IDP. And I don't even think there's really much else to say about
that. And that's kind of how it's trending in camp and how things are going. Al-Shaair is the one who's coming off for the extra defensive back. So really couldn't tell in week one, because I think they sat all of their relevant linebackers. Sure. But I think that's kind of how things have been trending in camp. And what the beat reporters are reporting is that Al-Shaair is the one coming off for that extra DB.
Nice. Yeah. And then, I mean, rookies, I like Drake Jackson as like a designated pass rusher, best ball type, kind of deep, big play leagues, whatever it is. But it's hard to spend too much on him for redraft this year, because I think there's a other options on the team that they might rotate in and out with.
Yeah, I think they got Charles Omenihu and Kimoko Ture.
Yep. Yeah, Armstead. But yeah, there's Carey Hyder. Who knows who's going to get a chunk of snaps there, but
yep,
that's okay. Seattle Seahawks. Who do you got?
I think it's going to be Jordan Brooks and Cody Barton. Brooks is obviously being drafted in the top three, among the top three linebackers.
Right.
I'm probably not paying Brooks's price. I'll take the value on Cody Barton. The only thing that I'm a little bit leery on is with the Bears and the Seahawks is Roquan Smith is actually traveling, and you will hear me yelling from Canada if I hear that Roquan Smith is traded to Seattle, because ooh, I have a ton of Cody Barton.
Sure. Yeah.
So that is the only thing that scares me, is that there's some sort of deal that is made and Roquan Smith stays in Seattle.
Wow.
But yeah, for me, it's cut and dry. Cody Barton and Jordan Brooks. And I do think Jordan Brooks is going to call the plays. Okay. But yeah, they're, again, kind of two linebackers. Schneider had some confidence in Brooks, likes him. They didn't add any other linebacker pieces, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think Barton is also a converted safety, so he does have some coverage ability there. And but yeah, I'll pay Barton's price over Brooks's over Brooks's ceiling and his price. But yeah, I mean, in terms of drafting Brooks, I have no problems drafting Brooks. It's just I'll take the nice value on Barton with that increased role and that increased snaps.
Yep. No, I'm 100% with you. I think that's the play there. Nothing really else to add. I mean, rookies, Boye Mafe looked good first preseason game. But I think
First play strip sack.
yeah, that was nice to see. But I think similar to Drake Jackson, deep, big play, best ball, whatever.
Yep.
And dynasty stash. But yeah, another easy team coming up. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Devin White, Levante David. I mean, this is a super linebacker friendly defense. Plenty of zone, plenty of cover two. They do blitz their guys quite a bit, but David and White have been good finishers, and that upside is definitely part of their appeal as well. So you can afford to take a shot on these guys early in drafts because that other efficiency positives in the tackle side of things that helps keep their value up as well. So I mean, anything else to add for these guys, any rookies, anything like that?
Boy, who did who did Tampa Bay add?
They added Logan Hall in the second. Yeah.
Who actually I think was a very efficient pass rusher in college and has just gotten no respect.
Yeah.
I haven't heard really anything about him. So that's a little intriguing. I mean, you got Joe Tryon as potentially like a second year breakout. I don't know. Right. But yeah, other than that, yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Logan Hall. I mean, yeah, we'll see what he becomes. I mean, I know they got Vita Vea. They got Akeem Hicks there now as well. We'll see. Again, a decent DT required leagues for Dynasty. That's not a bad shot to take.
Yep.
How about for the Tennessee Titans? Who you got?
I think with Titans, it's David Long. I didn't realize he got hurt also. I think he ended up with 10 games, but he took advantage of a Jayon Brown injury, and he never, at that point, he didn't relinquish the play caller. So I think he's the one calling the plays again, wearing the dot. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Zach Cunningham, because when he came over, I think he came over what later in the season. I think he only ended up playing about 70 some odd percent of the snaps when he came over in those final couple of games. Yeah, I think when I look at his game log, when he was active with Tennessee in weeks, was it 15, 16, 17, and 18, he had a 67%, 73%, 65%, 65%. So I still think maybe Zach Cunningham is a little bit overvalued. David Long is really the only one that, that I'm probably going to draft out of Tennessee.
Yep. That's fair. And look, we know what Zach Cunningham is. There's a reason the Texans cut him of all teams. I mean, David Long is kind of exciting. He's got some potential there. Yeah. So we'll see who they like. I know Vrabel likes Cunningham, but we'll see. This is a team actually that was surprisingly dime heavy last year, 25.4%. So fourth in the NFL in dime personnel. So there was some frustration and confusion around the Titans linebackers every week and who to start after David Long got hurt. So we might see a little bit of that early on, but I think it'll start to clear itself out. Whether it's Long or Cunningham, we will have to wait and see. But I think I have Cunningham slightly ahead right now. But I don't feel good about it. I definitely don't feel good about it. I like David Long more as a player, but I don't know what the Titans think. So, and then rookies, there's nobody really there.
Chance Campbell, but he looked Chance like Campbell. He looked like a rookie, though. Yeah,
that's true.
He got bullied around a little bit.
That's true. All right, last team on the list. We did it. The Washington Commanders. We know that it's Cole Holcomb season. the best salad in the league with that sweet Molly that he has. But in all seriousness, the Washingtons, whatever they're called, they were a good defense for at least one linebacker last year. And, there was a little bit more dime heavy. We'll see if that continues, if Jamin Davis can increase his role a little bit. I don't know. The reports are that he's being taken out in like short yardage situations for David freaking Mayo. Not ideal for the guy that they spent a first on last year. So still not looking great for Jamin Davis. I know that they played him every snap in the first preseason game, but I look at the preseason, I see guys that play every snap, and I consider it more for evaluation purposes than anything. I don't know that necessarily carries over into the regular season. Cameron Curl is super interesting there, especially with Landon Collins gone. Cole Holcomb, that's the guy I want. Obviously I have him on a lot of rosters, and I have said, if I win an IDP league this year that Cole Holcomb is rostered on, I will grow the mullet out for the off season and cut it before my brother's wedding, which is in September. So
you got a ways to go.
Got some time to grow it out. We'll see if Holcomb could bring me a championship this year. Anything else to add for Washington?
I think one of the, if I'm not mistaken, one of the beat reporters for Washington said, Jamin is playing a little bit more today, played a little bit, better today. They said he made three really good plays in a row, so I'm kind of hoping he stacks some practices up, stacks them together. So I know with rookies, it's like, if they don't perform after their first year, it's like, I think I've made this comparison before, it's like Andy and Woody in that first Toy Story. You take Woody and you dump him in the trash can. I don't want to play with you anymore. It was only his first year, so I think we do sometimes need to be a little bit patient. So definitely. I'm hoping for good things out of Jamin, and I hope he does kind of stack some practices together. So I'm hoping that he is able to carve out a little bit more of a role. So and also I did want to note with Detroit, Malcolm Rodriguez is actually starting to work with the first team defense against the first team offense of the Colts in their joint practices. So
that's fun.
I'm kind of crossing my fingers. And like I said, I had a feeling after Hard Knocks, he was going to be a guy that I was going to go start going all in. And he's probably going to be the Damian Pierce, the George Pickens, the Isaiah Pacheco of IDP. He's just the word of mouth is just going to get out of hand with this guy, but it's good to see. So,
Well, whatever he ends up being, I mean, it's going to be better than whatever Alex Anzalone is. That much we know. So let's hope that Malcolm Rodriguez can beat him out for that role, because
the anti-Cole Holcomb hair.
Yeah, exactly. I hate that hair. I just want to shave his head, but let's hope we don't have to look at it for that much longer and we get Rodrigo as a IDP relevant starter this year. That would be kind of fun to see. So
yes.
That is it. That's all. We made it through all 32 teams. Thank you everybody for sticking through it with us. I hope you found some valuable nuggets in there for the linebackers that you'll be drafting this season or not drafting. But a major thank you to Mr. Mike Wohlert for giving me 2 hours of his time tonight and helping me take down this monster. Mike, I really appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely. Always love coming on your pod. Love talking linebackers. Everybody loves linebackers. We're linebacker degenerates. Yeah. We need that. We love our linebackers. So it was happy to come on and anytime reach out. I'm always happy to come on.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you. And please let the people know where they could find you and your work.
444.com. And on Twitter at @Mike_Wohlert. And speaking of linebackers, my projected 3-down linebackers I'm updating throughout the preseason. I'll also have obviously a regular season article. And the best part about that article, it is not behind a paywall. It will not be behind a paywall again for the regular season. So it's there. I write this stuff for you. So when you see someone not getting the snaps, I let you guys know. Look at the article. It's what I write the article for. I let you guys know. So please take advantage of it. Like I said, not behind a paywall, and it's out there for everybody to look at.
Yeah, you'll love to see it. You're not going to find better value than that. And yeah, definitely check out Mike's work on 444.com. You can find me at pff.com, at @PFF_Macria on the Twitter. We got one more episode of the Big Nickel IDP podcast this season. Season finale next 2 weeks, I guess it is, with the godfather of IDP, Mr. Gary Davenport, for our season finale. So that should be fun. And until next time, IDP's out.